Jesus, I ask for utterance in the opening of my mouth and that you would speak to us from heaven and give to us what we are in need of. Father, more than everything else, I am asking you would help us to be those who hear you and do what you say. I thank you, Father, you are able. You are able to set before us your good will, your good word, and I thank you for it. I ask for utterance in the opening of my mouth and at the same time a guard to be set over it, that you would blow away and make of no effect what is not of you, but what is of you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to take it and work it deep within us that we might bear the fruit that that seed is intended to bear. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. In view of the different things that we're trying to do in this next season, I have to be far more careful with how I use my time here, so see how we do here. I want to just talk with you very briefly today. I want to take you again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And even though we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what we are talking about is rooted in our study of Romans, particularly Romans chapter 8. And you know, we work from Romans 5 all the way through 8. And one of the things that we have seen in that is that what Jesus did on the cross, as marvelous as it is that we have been forgiven of all our sins and that he will not hold an accusation against us, that we really are forgiven. We really are forgiven. When he looks at us, as that song says, when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, he sees Jesus. Okay, that's maybe a catchy expression of a reality that's buried in the scriptures concerning it. As much as it is a remarkable thing that we have been forgiven, and as amazing as it is that we need not be mastered by sin anymore, because we are not under law, we are under grace. As astonishing as that statement is, I want to remind you that everything Jesus did on the cross for us was with a view to bringing you and me into an intimate friendship with God, right? The point of Jesus' dying on the cross was not just because sin had to be paid for. Sin did have to be paid for, but that was a means to an end. Sin was paid for so that you could walk in union with him. So much so that he says, I put my spirit within you. And in Romans chapter 8, it tells us that if we're going to see the benefit of what Jesus did unfold in our lives, and that benefit goes beyond no longer feeling guilty or just having a few prayers answered. If we're going to see this, God says, you need to walk by the Spirit that I have put in you. Not just have practices or beliefs, but rather, everything you do is to be in a union with Holy Spirit. Now, on the one hand, maybe because of religious language that we've heard before or religious ideas that we've adopted before, that all sounds very churchy, but not necessarily practical. Okay? It's the kind of thing you're supposed to say. But I don't want it to remain in that category of some idealistic notion that we're never really practically going to work with, but, you know, somehow we'll get there. It sounds real nice anyway. I want you to see it as being extraordinarily practical. Whether you're, you know, someone who takes care of your kids at home, there is the provision of your of his Holy Spirit to help you with that. And our problem, so I said somebody staying at home take care of kids, whether you're a high-powered employee of some high-powered company, the provision of the Spirit of God is there to make a difference for you. Wherever you are, Holy Spirit has come to help you. Okay? You know what I mean when I say each one of us has different lives? There are things that are common, of course, but there are also situations and circumstances that I face that you don't. And I face them because of, you know, the family I'm a part of, my background, my choices, all of that kind of thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. We're just all different, right? But whatever is your life, Holy Spirit has come to help you. And that is a key. A key isn't the right word. That is a pillar that we must do everything we do from here on in based on that. That didn't come out right. Whatever we do from here on in, it must be on the grounds of His Spirit has come to help me. Okay? That really needs to become our life, our way of thinking about who we are and what we have to do. So whatever challenge I have, Holy Spirit is there to help me. Holy Spirit is there to help me. Now, I don't know how you approach your day, but I very easily can just fall back to, let me figure out how I would solve this. You know, I go back to the techniques I know, the training that I have, my experiences from past, and just sort of calculate a way out through this. I want to challenge each one of us to be willing to let Holy Spirit show you a better way. Okay? So, for example, when my strength is in myself, I'm completely comfortable with situations that I know how to handle, but I'm thrown by situations I don't know how to handle. When I face something that is beyond what I've experienced, beyond what I can figure out, when I'm in my, how do we put it? When I'm outside my comfort zone, okay, then I have trouble. When my source of strength is myself, but when my source of strength is Holy Spirit, who has come to dwell within you and help you, well, then even things outside my comfort zone need not stop me. Okay? I have to face the, you know, the awkwardness of having to deal with something that I don't know. I might be afraid. All those kinds of things are there. But the reality is, Holy Spirit has come, and therefore you are more than a match for anything that you are given to deal with. That requires a rewiring of how we think. Okay? Because the more you are, there's a proverb that says, the righteous are as bold as lions. Okay? And the idea there should be in us, doesn't matter what's coming against me, I'll take it on. Because Holy Spirit will back me. Holy Spirit will back me. And the situations and circumstances that each one of us are facing is the playground, the training field where this way of life becomes embedded in us. So I want, as you go through this week, as the Spirit stirs you, I want you to remember, but the Spirit of God is with me. I can take this on. And even if it's stuff that you are used to doing, I want to ask you, ask the Holy Spirit, Father, show me if there's a more here, if there's something better that I can do by your Spirit. Especially when we're used to doing things in a certain way, we don't necessarily stop to think, is this how you would want me to do this? Right? You know, one of the characteristics of flesh, and by that I mean our old person, our old abilities, our old way of doing things, is it likes to solve problems and say, look what I did. And walking by the Spirit puts you in a place where you got to depend on Holy Spirit. And so I want you to use the circumstances that you face in this coming week as that, an opportunity to say to Holy Spirit, help me go beyond myself here. What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? Now, a key to this is what I want to read to you in Romans, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, we've already touched upon this verse, but I think it's worth emphasizing again. Verse 14, he's talking in the midst of a dialogue about why he does, this is Paul writing, what he's explaining to the people that he's writing this letter to, the Corinthians, why Paul does what he does. You know, he always puts the Corinthians first. He's willing to suffer things that are terrible for the welfare of the Corinthians. Okay, so in the midst of a dialogue where he's explaining that, he says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. Why? For the love of Christ, in verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. I'll stop there. I mean, the rest of the dialogue there is wonderful and worth reading. But I want to, again, set this key before you. Okay? The platform or the foundation that we're wanting to live is, Holy Spirit has come to help me. That isn't automatic. He doesn't just beat me on the head and make me do what he wants me to do. And that is an essential thing to realize. He will not force you to do the right thing. He will not force you to do the thing that will actually end up with you profiting beyond what you can imagine. You have to welcome it. Okay? This is an essential key that we need to understand about what it means to be you and me. We have to welcome him. We have to respond to his invitation. He will not force us into things. Okay? So on that foundation that Holy Spirit has come to help us with everything. Okay, certainly the mundane, but you know what? The more you think in terms of Holy Spirit backs me, he is with me, you will begin to take on things that once upon a time you would never have imagined. Okay? And that's normal. The scriptures say that those who know their God will do exploits. That's the prophecy about the time that we live in that came through Daniel, right? In that time, the people who know their God will do exploits. Holy Spirit has come and it dwells within you and I who believe in Jesus so that we might do exploits. You know, there's a rather famous man, at least in some circles, John G. Lake, who lived at the turn of the last century. So late 1800s through, I think he died around 1940. And he got caught up with the Holy Spirit and got involved with the Holy Spirit, and miraculous things were done through him. I mean, astonishing things. Okay, so much so, he set up what he called healing rooms in the city of Spokane, where anybody who was sick could come. And people who had been trained would work with those people who were sick so that they would be healed of it. Part of their assignment would be, go home with so-and-so who is sick and don't come until they're healed. Come back until they're healed. And they would work together with it. So it wasn't just a miraculous thing. They would work with the word and the person would help them. And it ended up so much so that Spokane was rated as the healthiest city in the United States during that time period. And it was attributed to this man's ministry. Okay? But leaving that aside, the reason I bring him up is biographies of his life and books that he himself wrote were called Adventures in Faith. Okay? The entire reason I bring him up is that's your story too. Adventures in faith. That's what we've been granted. Adventures in faith. And those adventures begin in the everyday things that you and I have to deal with. The troubles especially. The challenging things especially that we have to deal with. Holy Spirit has come. He wants to help us. We must welcome him. We must live our life in a way that doesn't interfere with or oppose Holy Spirit leading us. Okay? And that is another essential key. And that is why he tells us things like we just read here. Okay? Now, there are people who think that Christianity is marvelous. Here I am, a person who was so unworthy of God's care and consideration, and yet he has forgiven me because Jesus paid the price for me. Hallelujah. And they've understood that much, but they still think their life will be best served by their agenda. Okay? I want to see this happen. I want to see that happen. I want to see that person die. I want to see this person win the lottery. I want to see all these things. And they have a way of looking at life that if God would just do these things for me, then my life would be so much better. And I completely understand that reasoning. I completely sympathize with it. I admit I fought that way. I can't think of anybody. I didn't wish anybody to die. But you understand what I'm trying to illustrate. Life would be so much better if things worked out my way. Okay? And let's be generous here. Let's assume when we say my way, we don't mean something wicked or evil. Okay? We don't mean something that intends harm. We just have the best ideas about how things ought to be. And now that I'm forgiven, now that I belong to God, God will do that for me. Okay? Now, underneath that, there are some subtle realities that expose you don't quite understand how life really works. Honestly, the problem we have ever had is trying to get our own way, even when it looked good. Okay? You know, if you go back to the garden and the story that is given to us there about what happened, when Eve took and ate of the fruit that the devil tricked her into eating, it wasn't out of a desire to be evil. It wasn't out of a desire to be cruel and mean and all that kind of stuff. That all just came later. It was, I want to know the difference between good and evil. That sounds reasonable. It sounds like a good idea. And so she partook. Really, one of the things that we have to embrace if we're going to walk by the Spirit is, actually, God knows better. I might have my ideas and plans, and I'm not trying to say that any thought that you have is automatically wrong. Because another aspect of the Scriptures is, as you walk as God's friend, He rubs off on you, if I could put it that way. Or to use what the psalmist says, He gives you the desire of your heart. Okay, so I'm not trying to imply to you any thought you have must automatically be evil. But you need to understand, one of the things that Holy Spirit is working within us is the willingness to surrender our agenda to Him. That is a key to walking by the Spirit. Okay? Now, obviously, that looks a little bit different for each person because each one of us has our own adventure, if you'd like. But this is a commonality. We need to recognize Jesus died not so that I get to live my own life with His blessing, but that I might live for Him. Now, why is this the case? Why would this be essential to our salvation? I want you to understand the need to submit yourself to God and His will from the proper perspective. Okay? And to do so, I'll just remind you of a passage in the Scriptures. You remember, Jesus had a friend named Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary, right? John chapter 11, we're told the story of Lazarus getting sick and word being sent to Jesus, who was not in the same area. He was some distance away, that Lazarus was sick. And it was not like he's got a cold. He's sick and he's dying. Okay? And obviously, Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sister, sent word to Jesus, expecting Jesus to come and do something about it. Because he was kind of famous for that. Right? Anybody who came to him, he always healed. He never failed. Okay, so that's our standard that we need to work toward. So, Jesus, it says in that passage, now, Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Okay? So, what do you think the next verses are? What do you think the next words are? Well, if we were writing the story, so, Jesus got up and left right away and rushed to Lazarus' side. That's not what the Scriptures say. Now, Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. So, He stayed there another couple days. What? That's not how it's supposed to be. If you love somebody and you can help them, you got to go right away. Right? But I'd like to propose that what Jesus did was the loving thing to do. He waited. Now, you know how the story ends. Lazarus dies. And Jesus demonstrates even that isn't a problem. Because He is the resurrection. Okay? He is the one who holds the keys of hell and death. Even death is not a problem. And Mary and Martha, who had some understanding of who Jesus was and some level of devotion, all of a sudden were helped to see not even death is a problem. And an astonishing miracle was worked that caused many to believe. Okay? So, Mary and Martha got what they were after, but they got far more because Jesus did what He saw His Father doing. In other words, even though it can seem counterintuitive, God's way actually is the best. So when He tells us, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. I hope so much we can say amen to, that when Jesus died, we also died. That's how our sins were dealt with. That's why we're no longer under the law. We are under grace because we're in this new place We're in this new reality where those old things don't apply, and therefore the old things don't have dominion over me anymore. I'm in this new place. And he died for all so that they who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died. And what I hope you will hear is that is the loving thing for you and me. That is the love of God toward us, that we need not walk in our own way, but we can walk in his. He wants us to walk in his way, not because he hates your idea of blessing and doesn't want to give you any good thing. You just need to be concentrating on the Lord and what he wants. That's not what he's getting at. He so wants you to have blessing that he doesn't want you to fail. And so he says, live for me. Okay? Now, obviously, living for him will result in certain things that he also wants. But the thing I'm trying to get across to you is living for him is how you enter blessing. The best picture that you have for your life and what it should be. Okay, so think about your circumstance and think about the story you would write that describes this is the best thing that ever. Okay, under the title of this is the best thing ever for my life. All the things that you would put there, all the situations that would be different, the conditions that would be taken away, the people who are a trouble to you are moved away. They move to Timbuktu or something. They're out of your life. The best things that could happen to you, as best as you can imagine, God has better things for you. It doesn't ignore those things that you have and the reason why you think, if so-and-so were to disappear off the planet, I'd be so much better off. There's a reason why you think that, and God is aware of it. But God's way, if you are willing to put him first, which is what it means that we live for him. Okay? Not for ourselves. It's not like we got a reset. Jesus forgiven our sins, and now we just keep on doing the same old thing again. It requires a new way of thinking. I want to live for him. I want to live for him. When it comes to my relationship with my wife, I want to live for him. When it comes to raising my kids, I want to live for him. When it comes to interacting with the other people in the church, I want to live for him. I want him first in everything that I do. If that is what guides me, number one, Holy Spirit is not hindered. Okay? Number two, what you will end up in is even better than what you have designed for yourself. It really is. I don't mean like, you know, you think you don't like vanilla ice cream, but God is going to show you really do. I don't mean that kind of shallow thing. I mean in the situation that causes your heart so much pain because of that person. What God will do in it if you yield to him is so much better than that person disappearing off the face of the planet. Because I'm not sure if you're aware, just because your circumstances change, the reason for the pain in your heart does not necessarily change. Circumstances are not the best indicator of how well you are doing or how poorly you are doing. They really aren't. Okay? You can be in circumstances that other people say, oh, that's miserable, and you could be fine. And you can be in situations where, you know, you won the lottery and everything is going your way, and you're miserable. And God's way gets at all of it. He doesn't just give you nice things. He gives you nice things and the heart that will really be blessed by it. He works all those things out. But the cost of admission is, you need to do it my way. You need to submit to me. Again, not beating you over the head until you do, but he sets this before you. There is a better way. And I want you to choose my way over your own. You have to trust me here. Well, why should I trust you? Why should I trust that God, his solution to my life is better than my solution to my life? After all, it's my life. After all, I know what's going on. Because he loves you. And loves you with a love that is unfailingly perfect. Diminished by his true knowledge of what you're really like. Okay? Not the nice face that we all get to see. But what you're really like, he still loves you. Despite all of it, he still loves you. Despite your lies, despite your deceptions, He still loves you perfectly. He gave himself, he gave his son for you. How will he not also with him freely give you every good thing? His design is to bring you into the fullness of what Jesus secured for you. Okay? That's why you can trust him. At the end of the day, yielding my life to him or not is always a question of, can I trust him? Can I trust him? Can I trust him? Or is my way better? And the reality is, your way is never better. There will be never a single person standing before God, and God will have to say, you know what, actually, now that I see how everything unfolded, your way would have been better. God will never say that to anybody. Right? Your way is never better than his. His way is always better for you and for everybody else. And so he says, will you trust me here? And put my interest, my agenda before your own. The result of that is to come into the blessing, into the fullness of what God has provided there. And it is inescapable. Okay? You and I will always be facing this situation, my way or his. And because of who he is and how things work, he will never make you do his. But the work of Holy Spirit in our lives is bit by bit, by bit, by bit, more and more we're willing to choose his way. That brings glory. That brings glory. Okay? So, a title for my message at the very end, Keys for Walking by the Spirit. His way over mine. His way over mine. The love of Christ controls me. I want the love of Christ to control me. So that means I must conclude this. I'm not what I used to be. He died for me, and I died with him. And now, I belong to him. My whole life actually is about him getting what he wants. The more my life is like that, the easier it is for God to cause blessing to flow to me and then through me. So, wherever it is that you think you have a better idea than God, be willing to trust him and say, okay, no, your way here. What is it that you want? What is it that you want? How do you want me to, you know, that can range from how I talk about things, how I react to things, how I speak about myself, how I speak about others. It touches on so many different areas, but the key underneath it is his way. His way. Okay? As embodied by what Jesus said. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Okay? So that meant that Jesus recognized, I have other options here, and they look pretty good. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Okay? Amen. Thank you. That wasn't too bad. Only 20 minutes, I think.